Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. New day, new series. Happy Father's Day to everyone. Hope that you have a restful day. And hope that you get to do what you want to do. Hint, hint. All right. But yeah, new series today. We're starting our series called Forward, Taking Your Next Step with Jesus. Okay, so would you open with me this morning? We're going to be in Luke 5. So this series is not going to be through a specific book series every week. We're going to look at discipleship and things like that in a new way, from new people, from new perspectives. But today we will be in Luke 5. And over the next several months, we're going to walk through this series called Forward, and at its heart, at its core, this series is going to be about discipleship, because Jesus never called people to just simply learn facts about him and like just learn what to do or just attend a service, attend an event, attend a Bible study. He called people to follow him in their life. So throughout the Gospels, we're going to see ordinary men and women being invited into this life-changing relationship with Jesus. And that same invitation still stands today. That same thing happens today, that we are called into a relationship with Jesus. So as we move through this series, we're going to explore what it means to follow Jesus, grow in Jesus, live for Jesus, and help others do the same. Amen? Because it is a step-by-step thing. We're not going to just stay and stand and observe. We're going to go. We're going to be called forward. We're going to follow Christ in our life. So no matter where you are in your journey, there's always a next step. Okay? There's always a next step. Until Christ comes, or until he calls us home, there is always a next step for him in obedience. And my prayer is that as we study God's word together, as we hear Christ and his call, that we would respond with greater faith and obedience than we ever have before, as individuals, as a church, and just truly ask God, what is our next step as a church? Ask God, what is my next step as a believer? Ask God, what is my next step as someone that is curious, that hasn't taken a step in faith? It's all about your next step. And for the last several months, we've been learning from Peter in the book of 1 Peter, okay? And we listened as he taught us to stand firm in God's grace, to stand through opposition, what it looks like. But when we come to Luke 5, Peter isn't the Peter that we've been reading about. Amen? In fact, his name's not even Peter. Okay? He is the Peter that God called forward in his own life as Simon. And that's where we start. Because right now, as he's known as Simon, he's just a fisherman. He's doing his thing. And after a night of unsuccessful fishing, have we all been there? I've hardly ever caught a fish. That's why I don't go fishing. I like the hangout and stuff, but I'll forget my pole is even there. Because I'm like, never caught a thing. You know? But some people are better than others, but he's a fisherman, and this is a night of unsuccessful fishing, and he seems to be ready and done for the day, right? After you've been working all day, you're kind of gathering up your stuff, you're probably ready to go home, kick up your feet, okay? He's cleaning his nets. So Simon, who will be known as Peter, doesn't know yet that he's going to preach at Pentecost. He doesn't know yet that he's going to help lead the early church. He doesn't know that he's going to write the letter that we literally just spent a few weeks, under a few months, reading about. All he knows is that Jesus is standing in front of him. And I think sometimes we look at Peter and think, and we look at other disciples and apostles in the Bible, and we think, of course God used them. Look at them. Look at how well they're doing. Look at how well they follow Christ. You know, I mean, Peter, the one who denied Christ three times. But I don't know what it is. Even myself, we read about these people and we're like, man, how? Can't be like Moses. Why not? Can't be like Peter. Why not? Because when God calls us forward, we need to be obedient. But they all start somewhere. And we're not just wondering if we're going to like preach to thousands and stuff like them. We're just trying to follow Jesus in our homes, at our school, in our life, at work. So what encouraged me about this story where we're starting today is that that Jesus didn't call Peter because of who he was when he was Simon. Jesus called Peter who Jesus knew he was going to become after he took a step forward as Simon. Jesus knows where you will end up if you follow him. So when we say, Lord, I want to follow you, it's not about us being perfect. It's not about us knowing it all. It's about us being faithful to take the next step in our life. And that means that the story isn't just about Peter. It's his moment. We're going to read it. We're going to be grateful for it. And I love seeing it. But it's about every one of us being able to take that same next step that Jesus is putting in front of us. Because God knows who we will become through obedience in him. We just need to be willing to take the next step and follow him. So we read 1 Peter, and Peter is calling believers who are facing trials, suffering, to stand firm in the grace of God, to be faithful even in difficult circumstances. But before any believer can stand in front of him, they must first answer the call to follow him. And we realize that every mature disciple that we read about in Scripture was once a new disciple learning and following Christ in their life. So it all started somewhere. And that's what this series is going to be about, is exploring these next steps and finding out, where am I in this puzzle? Where am I in this, like, not lineage, but this line of events? Where do I fit in, and where is my next step? And how do I keep moving forward in that? So 1 Peter was very encouraging for believers from someone who followed the Lord and became an apostle of Jesus Christ, but it started with him being called forward. Amen? So let's pray before we get into the word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. I just pray right now that as we go into this new series and we just ask ourselves, Lord, what is our next step? Where are you calling us faithfully to move? I just pray that we start having open hearts. I pray that we, as we dive into the word, that people start hearing that voice. And maybe they've been hearing it all along, but maybe it becomes stronger. And I just pray that throughout this series, we all start taking those steps forward as a church, as individuals, and become more and more like you every day, more and more obedient every day, more and more faithful every day, because you have called us all forward in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus calls his first disciples, Luke 5, we're going to be 1 through 11, and starting at the beginning it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So he starts just with a simple, hey, can you take me out? Just sits in his boat. Can you imagine that nowadays? You're just sitting there, maybe cleaning out your car. Someone comes in, sits down, and they're like, can you just go a little bit up the road for me here? And you're like, what? Who do you think you are? This ain't Uber. But Jesus already has like this standing. He's already been in the town. He's already been around. But Peter is just living his life. He is knowing who Jesus already was, though. He has heard about him. Jesus has been going around the community. He's been going around the Sea of Galilee, okay? He's been preaching. He's been teaching, just conversing with the people. And then even before, in chapter 4, I believe, yep, chapter 4, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, well, Simon. I'm going to go back and forth. Just remember, Simon, Peter, okay? But he heals his mother-in-law who is suffering from a high fever. So he's witnessed things. He's been around it. He's been with and around his teaching. So he's likely heard Jesus teach, and there's enough respect from Peter to know that Jesus has at least authority in that way. All right? So, this might sound familiar. Happens in our life all the time. So we're hearing about something. We learn from a distance. Maybe we're intrigued. We get invited somewhere. And there's things taking place around Peter leading up to this moment. He may not be talking directly to Peter, but Peter is, you know, who knows? If he's around the same area that Peter is frequently walking, Peter has seen him perform a miracle, or at least healed his mother-in-law right in front of them. So he says, man, this guy is different. But also, he has his own life. Simon is doing his own thing. He's living his life. He's a fisherman. He needs to provide for his family. So he's out doing his thing. But there's things going on around him. Jesus is around him. His word is around him. In conversation, through his life, is intertwined with Jesus and his word. And that's the same thing with us. There's things taking place around Peter leading up to this moment and leading up to the decision for him to follow. It doesn't just come out of thin air, right? It has been in moments where God was reaching out to him first before this encounter, just being in the, not in the way, but in a good way in the way, right? It's like, okay, the crowd is gathered. There's Jesus again. There's Jesus again. Jesus is here. Jesus is on the shore. I'm closing up for the night, you know. He's been fishing all night. Jesus is over there. There's Jesus again. He's been around. And in the church, in the Wesleyan church, this is what we call prevenient grace. The grace that goes out beforehand. God going out before us. Putting himself in our life. The Holy Spirit being there. Present. Where there's an invitation. Hey, you should come to church. Hey, you should hang out. Hey, we have a cool Bible study. Hey, there's things going on. There's an event happening. Like all these things, right? It is that prevenient grace, the grace that is sent out ahead of all of us, drawing us, speaking to us, leading us to make that decision in our life. So Jesus was pursuing Simon before he even followed Jesus. So you see, God often works through people, circumstances in our life, personal invitations before we ever made the decision to follow him. But in order to point others towards him, we first need to be drawn towards him. And that's what God's grace does, so that we're put into situations that we have a choice to follow. But, wait, there's more. There's always a but, right? But admiration is not the same as obedience or discipleship or following him. We can put a bunch of little things at the end. Admiration is not the same as obedience. So the crowd definitely admired Jesus, right? They're intrigued. They're like, what is he speaking of? What is he going to talk about today? They gathered to hear him teach, listen to his words, and were amazed by what they saw. And Peter may have also, well, Simon, keep going, back and forth. Simon may have also been the same way, admiring Jesus. Man, he's really got a crowd today. Look at him go, right? He's heard him teach, and he's even respected him enough to call him master. So there was already that level of respect. But now Simon is about to face a decision. Would Jesus be someone he simply admired, or would Jesus be someone he obeyed? Because we can all admire Jesus. We can all come to church, go to Bible study, open the book, listen to the worship songs, do the things, and we can admire him all we want. But the question we're going to be asking ourselves is, are we following him? Are we truly following Jesus in our life? Because Jesus wants us to follow. By following Jesus is more than agreeing with just who he is. It's more than saying, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. Do you follow him? Do you live for him? Are you obedient to him? Because it's what it is following Jesus is allowing Jesus to direct your life. Because Jesus never called people to simply admire him. Jesus called people to follow him. And every follower of a Christian, every follower of Christ eventually reaches that point where admiration must give way for obedience. A step must be taken. And Jesus will invite us before we ever fully understand. And let's be honest, we're probably never going to fully understand until we're standing in front of him. And I always joke around. It's one of the things that I tell myself to kind of get a little bit of understanding, but I'm like, that is why heaven is eternity, because it'll take us that long to get all the questions we have answered. But when we are not in that moment, we need to understand that Jesus will invite us before we fully understand, because Jesus knows. He knew where Simon would be. He knew who Simon would become, but Simon has to take the step. So until Simon Peter follows Christ, he simply acknowledges that Jesus is master. So in verse 4 and 5, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. He hasn't even chosen to follow him yet, but he has enough understanding of who Jesus is that when Jesus asks for something to be done, he says, I don't understand. I've been fishing all night long, haven't caught a thing, but because you say so, I'll cast my nets. So Jesus, until Simon Peter follows Jesus, he is simply acknowledging that Jesus is master and had not been yet invited to follow him. But however, Jesus will invite us into a relationship with him before we fully understand. It's really a human nature thing that we're like, I need to have all the answers first. Because a lot of things that we do in life, when we don't have all the answers, doesn't really work out the right way, right? Go to a car dealership. Oh, this all sounds pretty cool. Start reading the paperwork. You're like, whoo, should have done that beforehand. So we're a little bit shy about that. We're like, wait. Before I get involved with this Jesus dude, I need to know everything. I need all the answers. But we're not called to do that. We're called to faithfully trust him and be like, Lord, I don't have all the answers. That's why I need you. And I'm going to be obedient and follow you because I trust that you know the way. He is the light in our darkness. So we say, you lead the way because I'm dark. I got nothing without you. I don't know where I'm going. But Peter knows enough to know Jesus, to trust Jesus. He didn't say, no way. He didn't say, how do you know more than me? I'm the fisherman. You're a carpenter. What are you going to do, build me a chair and throw it out in the middle of the lake? No. Even though he's the fisherman, he knows who Jesus is. At least enough to say, there's something about this guy. He has a bit of authority. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient to that. And Peter had his life. He was experienced. And on this day, he was probably tired from fishing. I don't know if any of you have worked overnight in any capacity, but I'd imagine in a boat, it's going back and forth, it's dark, you're doing work, manual labor. Some of us don't like that anymore. He's probably tired. He's probably like, I just want to go home, go to bed, get some breakfast. But Peter has enough respect to take him out on the boat and to cast his nets. And that is faith. Because it's trusting Jesus enough to obey him when we don't know enough or what he's going to do. But we know that he is a teacher. We know that he is Jesus. And we just have to go, okay, there's something here. I'm going to trust you. So most of the next steps with Jesus, even the first initial step, will come before the answer, because Jesus reveals himself through the obedience. Pretty crazy, huh? When we're like, Jesus, I need to know, what's my life going to look like when I follow you? Jesus, I need to know what friends I might lose and if you're going to replace them with the same amount of friends that I need, because I don't like being alone. That's not me. I love being alone. I like quiet time. Jesus, before I follow you, I need to know what you're going to replace this addiction with that you're going to ask me not to take. And maybe that's a reason why a lot of people don't follow Jesus, because they know when they follow him, they have to change. And people are going to say, I don't like church. I'm not a big Jesus person. What it really boils down to is a lot of people are saying, I don't want to change. I don't want to live different. I don't want to be held accountable. I don't want to step into that light. I like to be over here. But it comes, that initial step, and pretty much every step we take is going to come through obedience, because we need to trust him. And as we trust him and are obedient to him, Jesus reveals himself more and more through that obedience. So very often, following Jesus requires trust before clarity. And what Peter is about to discover is that Jesus is not just a teacher worth listening to. He's not simply just a master that's worth respecting because he has authority and he has a gathering. He's going to realize that he's the Son of God, who came to seek and save the lost. And Peter may think this moment is about fish, but Jesus knows this moment is about redemption, and this moment is about obedient steps to walk forward, because Jesus knows who Simon will become. Jesus knows who you will become in your life if you walk towards him, if you follow him. And I can guarantee you, I don't know a lot. I read this quite a bit. Remember, that's why I said I decided to go into ministry, because might as well have a job that requires me to learn more about what I'm always confused about. But we need to take the next step in obedience, in understanding that he knows the way. Jesus knows where I will be. And I can guarantee you one thing this morning, that wherever Jesus is going to lead you will be far better than anything that you can do on your own. It'll be far better life than you could ever imagine on your own. It'll be more plentiful than you were ever thinking of doing on yourself. Because when we know Jesus, when we accept him into our life, we really gain something special. But obedience leads to a better understanding of Jesus. So, verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." So Peter obeyed Jesus without fully understanding what Jesus was doing. And when he let down the nets, because Jesus told him to do just that, everything changed. With what happened next, everything changed. The nets filled to the point that the boats began to sink. The other boat had to come help. And it began to sink because of the amount of fish in it. And at that moment, Peter realized that he was standing before someone far greater than himself. And he was standing before someone who was more than just a teacher. And he realizes that. And he says, because up until now, Peter respected Jesus and he respected his authority. He had listened to Jesus. He had listened to his teaching. He even called him master. But now he is confronted with the reality that Jesus possesses an authority and power that belongs to God alone. So notice that Peter's attention immediately shifts away from the fish. Immediately shift away from that. Because it was never really about the fish. Okay? This miracle revealed something about the one who made it happen. Jesus was calling Peter in the moment. So others may have been in awe and focused on the amount of fish, because who knows how much they normally caught, but they would catch fish, they would take it to the market and sell it, provide for their families. So this was probably an abundance amount of fish that you can just be like, look at how much I can give my family over this next week, month, 2 months. I don't know how much, I don't know what it sold for, definitely cheaper than now. I don't know how much it was. I don't know how big the boats were. I don't know how many cubits. Anything, none of that. But it was such a high volume that it was sinking their boat, which means it had to have been a lot for them. And in that moment, some people would be like, look at what I have. And Peter immediately turned away from the fish and he's like, look at who you are. So instead of celebrating the catch, Peter falls at Jesus' knees and says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Because when Simon saw this more clearly, he also saw himself more clearly. When we get closer to Jesus, we also expose our self. When we dive deeper into the Word of God, it reveals a lot more about us. And sometimes it's easier just to go like this and live our life than it is to open it and say, what is he going to tell me today? What am I going to be changing today? So at this point, Simon is no longer thinking about fish. He's no longer thinking about the boats. He's no longer thinking about this catch. His attention is simply fixed on Jesus Christ. So what began as a simple act of obedience has now become a moment of conviction. And he understands that he is standing in the presence of someone far greater than he imagined. And that moment, but at that moment, anyone comes from this initial obedience to the moment of conviction. They all have a choice to make. When that moment happens in our life, we all have a choice to make. Because following Jesus requires us to leave the shoreline in our life. Does that make sense? We have to take a step forward. We have to follow him. Called forward, taking your next step with Jesus. Not called to admire and say, look at him go. Look at that Jesus guy doing his thing, so proud of him, and we're just planted. That's not it. It says, follow me. You're like, I don't know what we're doing, but we're going. So following Jesus requires to leave the shore. Verse 9, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. When Jesus reveals himself through various ways, through people, through groups, through Sunday sermons, through prayer, whatever it may be in your life, when you feel that nudge in your life saying, take the next step, come towards me, towards God, not me, okay? But come towards me, follow him. When you feel that nudge, you have a decision to make. And Jesus lets us know, first and foremost, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So when Simon realizes who Jesus was, he also realized who he himself was. Amen? He was like, whoa, I am a sinful man. Please get away from me. It wasn't in a bad way, like, get away from me, like an angry. Like, no, get away from me. You are too holy for me. Please do not be in my presence because I am a sinful man. I am so sinful. He saw Jesus' power and authority and is aware of his own sinfulness. And that's why he falls at Jesus' knees and says, just go away from me. I am a sinful man. So his first response was not in confidence, was it? That first step is usually in some sort of fear of the unknown. Not going to sing it. Not going to sing Frozen right now. Into the unknown. I did it, sorry. But that first step takes a little bit of fear of the unknown. Sorry. It's Father's Day, I can do this. But we normally aren't going to take that step in full confidence. Let's be honest. We're not going to take that step and say, I got this. I know what's going on. Let's move forward. We're going to be like, okay. I've got a lot of baggage, but okay. Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. So Jesus doesn't push Peter away because of his failures, because of his sinfulness, because of his life. Jesus calls Peter forward in spite of all that. Peter saw all the reasons he wasn't qualified. Jesus saw a disciple. Peter saw his past. And Jesus saw what his grace could do for his future. And I think many of us need to hear that same thing today. Because we think our failures, our mistakes, our shortcomings disqualify us from taking that next step with Christ. But Jesus is not looking for perfect people. That's why he came, to be the perfect lamb. But he is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who are willing to follow him. But how many of us, and just be honest with yourself, this is not a raise your hand exercise, But how many of us admire Jesus but are not following Jesus? How many of us admire Jesus, but when he says, step forward into this or step forward out of this, we just go, don't hear you. And we're not obedient. So following Jesus always involves a next step. And the issue is not whether or not we know the whole plan. The issue is whether we trust fully in Jesus Christ in our life, who is calling us forward. So let's remember something this morning. Jesus pursues us before we follow. Admiration, admiring, is not obedience. It's not discipleship. It's just admiring. I can admire a lot of things that I'm not following. So admiring is not discipleship. It is sitting and observing without entering into the following part of discipleship with Christ, in the relationship with Christ. So Jesus will invite us into something before we understand, because we need to trust in him, have faith, have obedience, and Jesus reveals himself deeper and more to us through that obedience. But let's not forget why Jesus came, because he did not come to simply gather followers. Jesus came to save, to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to save sinners. And the same Peter who fell at Jesus' knees and says, I am a sinful man, would one day watch Jesus die on the cross. He would watch Jesus willingly give his life for the sins of us and the sins of the world. He would see Jesus buried and rise again. And the good news of the gospel is that not that we are good enough to follow Jesus. The good news is that Jesus came for people who were never good enough to follow Jesus. And he came and paved the way. He came and provided the path. And he says, follow me. I know the way out. He died for our sins. He took our place. He rose again so that our faith in him, that we can be forgiven, we can be restored, we can be made new through Christ. So when Jesus says, don't be afraid, he's speaking words of grace into our life. Peter saw his sin. Jesus saw someone who was worth pursuing, redeeming, and transforming. And Jesus sees that in every single one of us. Every single one of you, Jesus sees. And that same invitation is still being offered today, not because we deserve it, but because of what Christ has already done for us on the cross. So church, this is where our series starts. Everything starts here. The future of Antioch Wesleyan Church, the future of our life, the future of our walk with God does not start with spectators. It does not start with people who are just admiring what's going on in front of them. It starts and built by people who continually walk with Jesus, who become disciples of Jesus, who are obedient to Jesus, and take the next step with Jesus every day. Every believer has a next step towards becoming a disciple. Not every disciple is called to be a teacher. Not every disciple is called to do this. Some are called to pray. Some are called to just be a father figure, a mother figure, to a younger generation. But we are all called into a next step of obedience to become a greater disciple for Christ, because a disciple is just a follower of Christ and a student of Christ. So every believer has a next step towards becoming a disciple. Every disciple is called forward into something more. So the question is, are you willing to follow Jesus Christ completely in your life? Are you willing to trust him with your next step? Are you willing to obey before you have the answers? Are you willing to leave behind whatever is keeping you on that shore? And are you willing to be called forward to take your next step with Jesus Christ? Amen? I invite the worship team up. And the first call of discipleship we see here in Luke 5 shows us this process that Jesus is pursuing and calling those into a deeper relationship with him. I'm asking, I want us to think about this. How is Jesus calling you this morning? What next step do you feel that Jesus is calling you towards? Because remember, the next step requires us to be followers and not just spectators. And the next step requires us to move away from that shoreline in our life that we've been hanging out on, doing our own thing. Let's pray.